I'm so tempted to begin speaking and then I never read the purport and say the prayers. So I feel if that actually happens, I'll just be cursed. So let me actually read the verse, but of course I have to introduce it somewhat. No, everyone can hear me in the back, right? Okay. I'm going to read the last purport that Prabhupada ever wrote, which is the end of this Brahma Vimohan Leela. Okay, so we can relish that. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 64. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Shuna Atotaya Simrijalochane Mukunda Udviksha Vinamrakandara Kritanjali Prashyavansamahita Savepatur Gagadayal Lakkelaya. I like it. That is the last verse. Okay. Great. No, you can't. No, not with you. Just lock that door there. I don't want people coming in here. Okay. Then rising gradually and wiping his two eyes, Lord Brahma looked up at Mukunda. Lord Brahma, his head bent low, his mind concentrated, and his body trembling, very humbly began with faltering words to offer praises to Lord Krishna. Purport. Brahma was being very joyful. Brahma, being very joyful, began to shed tears, and he washed the lotus feet of Krishna with his tears. Repeatedly, he fell and rose as he recalled the wonderful activities of the Lord. After repeating obeisances for a long time, Brahma stood up and smeared his hands over his eyes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the word lochane indicates that with his two hands he wiped the two eyes on each of his four faces. Seeing the Lord before him, Brahma began to offer prayers with great humility, respect, and attention. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Stealing of the Boys and Calves by Lord Brahma. Om Jnana Timurandasya
Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nipitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Amaro Nishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayamrupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam
Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha
Divasya Sindhu Madeva Cha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Very interesting. Very interesting, the last three words Prabhupada ever wrote in a commentary. Can anyone remember what they are?
Humility.
What's that?
Humility.
Great humility.
Attention.
Okay, here it is. Great humility. Respect and attention. That's like a nice sutra for Prabhupada's bhajan kanali, his line of worship. Great humility, respect, and attention. It's almost like a sutra. I'm writing my Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada. I started it when I'm here. The point I'm making is we should have a Prabhupada Sutra. So I said I'm going to write one based on my experience this year. So this was the sutra I was going to comment on. Burkers and bee bags. That's how you pronounce it? Burkers? What?
Burkas
and bee bags. Just a commentary just on when I was in Mayapur and these devotees came from the Middle East. 20, 30, we had a beautiful retreat. And there was one lady who was an Islamic scholar. And she had a burqa and a traditional dress and a bead bag. And I thought that was really, really Prabhupada's mercy. And then at the end of the retreat, maybe even we can do this a little bit today, we generally have people go by kirtan to the place that inspired them the most. And this lady with the burqa and bee bag, what a smile she had. You know, she was so pure. You know what her comment was? Her comment was, "For me, Mayapur is Mecca." And I thought that was so beautiful. And that's Prabhupada's mercy. So today is officially the last day of the Prikram, and even saying that must evoke a certain emotion because of the Sangha. What we have, I actually have a little short thing I wrote about what Vaishnava Sangha is, being inspired in our parikram in January of 2008. That sounds like it may have been the swimming hotel time where it was. So maybe I'll read that. But also, anyway, I told you before that I was a sports coach before I was a devotee. So I'm a man of strategies. So my strategy today is to go back to Gaur Lila and talk about the devotees leaving. It's a very beautiful pastime. And a little softer. Then when I get going, then I'll go back and we'll have the Lila that we did yesterday. We'll do the Leela completely to the end. And then we'll leave sufficient time for kirtan, and then maybe I can read what I wrote called What is Vaishnava Sangha? But you know, the devotees, you know, the Indian culture was such that it was agrarian. So people would work hard, but unlike America, where you barely can get 2 weeks vacation, most opulent, powerful country works people to the bone. They only get 2 weeks vacation. But in India, it was agrarian, so people would get 4 months vacation during the rainy season. You know, you can't do agriculture then, and people would take vacation. And you know, they'd stay in a holy place. And especially the Vaishnav sannyasis, and I've been doing this now for 25 years, and if I have any potency or anything to do, I think it's only because of this, is, you know, Chaturmasya means, you know, okay, what do you do when it rains? Like, I and you don't have internet, and you don't have TV. What do? You worship God. Just like I have this place in Vrindavan, if any of you there, I can take you to the Brijbasi Rotis out in the fields by a little Amali, and he's actually world famous now because I've taken all the groups there. And, you know, I say he works hard, and then when he's finished, whether him and his wife just sit and they chant. It's Indian culture. What do you do in the rainy season? So the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would come to Puri and visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what a scene when they came to Puri. Because there's a tradition of kirtan here for thousands and thousands of years. But when the 200 Bengali devotees arrive by Indradyumna Sarovar around that area, when they arrive doing kirtan, led by Srup Damodar and led by Advaita Acharya, and then Srup Damodar comes, and people, you know, not everybody's ever met, they've heard of some of the Vaishnavas, and King Prataparudra is on the roof with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya. And he looks and King Prataparudra turns to them, he said, I've never seen a kirtan like that. Now he's seeing, you know, the expertise. I remember this kirtan group came to Govardhan, you know, from Bengal. They're all like, they have this nice yellow color, and the way they dance and the way they sing. In fact, we were in our satsang in the Govardhan Palace, and one devotee that comes is Javi, and Javi is one of the greatest Vaishnav singers, musicians, but he actually won a Grammy Award. He's put the prayers in our tradition to a symphonic orchestra. He's amazing. When he heard this kirtan, just the musical ability he had to, you know, he had to kind of find out where it was. Even Akinchana Krishna was telling me, they sing so high and they hold it the whole time. It's like so beautiful. But when King Prataparudra saw them, he said, I've never seen a kirtan like this. I've never seen a kirtan like this. Because it's so much different, because in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it may be in some other bona fide Vaishnava lines, it is praying kirtan. And praying kirtan differs from other kirtans, is that it's kirtan, actually. Kirtan, the best definition from this New York City subway conductor called Sahari, and what an article he wrote on kirtan. And he said, kirtan is when the bhava in the heart is expressed by the discipline of music. Without the bhava, there's no kirtan. And when that bhava is there, it's completely different. Just like I'm going in America in the outside preaching. And there's so many kirtans. In fact, the place where I live, which is 2 hours north of New York City, has been named by the New York Times as the Bhajan Belt. Belt in English, it's an idiom which means a place where everything is the same. Like in the South, if you go to places like Alabama, it's the Bible Belt. All fundamental Christians across. And the place where I used to live, it's in, near the Catskills in upstate, is where all the Russian Jews in New York City, it was about more Jews than in Israel, they go vacation. I went there, all my Satyaraj, Steve Rosen, they all went. We went up to there. It was named at that time the Borscht Belt. Because every hotel was filled with Jews from Russia. It was called the Borscht Belt. Now it's the Bhajan Belt. So there's kirtans all the time. Every place in that area. That's where the Krishna Das lives and the Ram Das is. And there's all kirtan going. But when you hear the kirtan that's coming in line from Prabhupada, where it's born from the bhava in the heart, which makes one who leads kirtan not want to entertain. Not want to be in the center, and you feel that. And it's a special kirtan. In fact, one time the Kinchana Krishna visited Jamuna in Sharanagati when she had the place. And he did this kirtan, this tune, and she loved it. She loved the tune that a Kinchana sung. And then, here he comes now. Akinchana, we were just talking about you. Can you tell the story when you saw Jamuna in Vrindavan and her last instruction to you?
Yeah.
You can speak louder.
She said,
speak louder.
She said, Akinchana Krishna has a real opportunity to serve the Sankirtan movement.
To what?
To serve the Sankirtan movement.
To serve the Sankirtan movement.
Madhivana said, Akinchana Krishna has a real opportunity to serve the Sankirtan movement as long as he doesn't become a performer.
So when you see that kirtan, Grungi, you like that, huh? No, but I see that the praying kirtan, and you can see the difference. I know we have this one group, 25 people from New York came in October just before Kartik. And we arranged that they would do kirtan with Madhava in the MVT, just them in that group. And what happened was that, and these people, you know, from American standards, they were kind of, you know, higher class people, definitely. Very well dressed, very well educated, very nice looking. And they were familiar with kirtan and a little familiar with bhakti in different ways. Not, and then they Madhava did his kirtan, and you know, it's definitely not performance. Yeah. What did Bhuvaneshwar say when he heard Madhava singing?
have a lot of Shakti. He just sings the same tune every time.
Bhuvaneshwar, by his sword. A lot of the chanting is it.
He must have a lot of Shakti. Just sings the same tune all the time. So it is Shakti. Because Madhava was just chanting the same tune. And he wouldn't, he has such confidence that, you know, he just forced the people to surrender. But by the end, they were dancing. And then he came, I remember he was talking with two of the leaders after that, and saying, he said, isn't this different from the kirtan that comes from people who are in Advaita Vad? They said, yeah, it's completely different. So the praying kirtan. So they came into Puri with that praying kirtan, and they were watching that praying kirtan. And then the devotees stayed with Mahaprabhu and the Ratha Yatra festivals and the Beda kirtans and the ecstatic kirtans and the Lord Chaitanya dancing in the kirtans. Lord Chaitanya dancing in the kirtans. And how beautiful that must be, how he organized the kirtans. There was a lead singer, and there was a lead dancer. And I think there was two madanga players, and two people that respond. And it was incredible. And who were the kirtaneers? The first kirtan group was Srivas Pandit, who's a great kirtaneer. Srivas was one of the great kirtaneers. That was his service that Lord Chaitanya gave him. Do kirtan. Srivas and the second was Sarup Damodar. What was the kirtan of Sarup Damodar like? He was personally singing. What is that kirtan like? And then, you know, and the dancers, Advaita, Haridas Thakur, Nityananda, Vakresha Pandit, and when the drums were playing, it sounded like a huge, because sometimes they had seven groups. You know, one in the front, two on the side, two in the back, and then they would join together. And when they would join together, it would sound like a thunderstorm. With the tears from the eyes of the Vaishnavas like a big rain cloud. And then Lord Chaitanya began to dance in such an ecstatic way, like a firebrand. Harpasada, what's the Sanskrit, the Bengali for that? Firebrand? No?
Alachakra.
What?
Alachakra.
Like a firebrand. He was whirling and whirling and whirling and whirling. Like Bhakta Avatar. Actually, Bhakta... give the Kinshin the microphone for a second. What? When we were going to do a kirtan book and we interviewed Bhakta Avatar about his dancing, and what did he say?
When he said exactly what that verse, the inspiration for his dancing style.
He never stops moving. He got that. Lord Chaitanya was doing it. One time I went to Ramesh Baba, the famous Ramesh Baba. And somehow or other, whenever I go, I never ask to see him, but somehow people, so I'm up there, and I'm okay, what am I going to ask him? Right? So I asked him this question. I said, how to increase smarin? Right? So now I'm like getting ready for a real Seva Sadaka Rupena Siddharupena Chachri. I'm ready to get some real. How do I increase smarin? He said, like Lord Chaitanya. He said, chanting and spinning. You lose your body and you're just. He said, this is the best meditation. He said, this is traditional.
You spin and you move, and then you forget your body and you're just meditating on Krishna.
Have you seen them spin?
What?
Have you seen their kirtan?
Yeah. Actually, that's why, because I went down and they have the girls in their school just spin for 1 hour. And he said they forget everything. They forget everything. So.
Whirling dervishes.
Yeah, whirling dervishes. And then what happened is, then the devotees, they did the kirtans and they got the association of Lord Chaitanya. And they heard Hari Katha from Gadadhar. And they took Jagannath Prasad. And if the descriptions are there, they took a lot of Jagannath Prasad. Generally, Dr. Fakir Mohan comes, and I ask him to speak on a topic, and he speaks on what he wants. So I say, can you speak on kirtan? He said, I want to speak on prasadam. And this was his lecture here, glorifying Jagannath Prasad. And he gives so many references. He said, here in Puri, he said, eat and eat and eat more and more and more and more. That was his realization. And then go to sleep. And that, you know, that's beneficial, and it was Bob for sure. But then they were going. So they had to leave. And when they left, it's a very beautiful scene, because what Lord Chaitanya does, which is really beautiful, and it's actually a lesson in really Krishna conscious management. And in the sense that he empowered the devotees. He empowered the devotees. And what empowerment means, and I really thought about this deeply, and it's kind of a pet peeve of mine, that people should be empowered. And I think that's what a real leader does. That's what Prabhupada did. He empowered people. He empowered people a lot less qualified than the people we have now. And how did he empower people? Well, empowerment means three things. You recognize a person's ability. People have amazing abilities. Every single person has an offering to Krishna that's beautiful. Anywhere from raising a family in Krishna consciousness to giving a lecture to study, whatever it is, to kirtan, he recognized their abilities. Facilitate it. You recognize someone's ability, and then you facilitate. You recognize, you encourage, and you facilitate. That's what Prabhupada did. Young man, yes, you can do. Yes, you can do. And then he would give them service. People are dying for service. One time I made a joke with Indradyumna Swami. He had 1,000 people on parikrama. I said, hey, look, I said, I'll help you, right? It'd be a great combination. I said, you need a vacation and I need a job. There's so many people that need vacations and there's so many people that need jobs. Let's put them together and spread Krishna consciousness. And then you facilitate them. And then you make broad parameters by which people work within some kind of community or institution. Okay, now I'll go a little bit off and just say one thing. What bureaucracy means is you start with the parameters. You never recognize someone, you never encourage someone, you never facilitate. No, you can't do this because. Or check with me here. But real leaders, they facilitate. So what did Lord Chaitanya do? He called all the people in and he
glorified them, and then gave them service. Srivas Thakur, first, it's significant, in Dvaitacharya and Nityananda, he told them to preach to the lowest of the low. You know, that was for them. And for Srivas Thakur, he said, hold kirtans in your home. And for Shivananda Sena, he said that Vasudev Dutta can't keep the accounts. he's such a pious Vaishnava that, you know, he has to take care of his family, but he has no conception of the accounts. So Shivananda Sena, you take care of his accounts, basically gave him the mission. Shivananda Sena was to help the Vaishnavas. At the beginning of our retreats, when Shastra, he was so generous to actually, even now, he pays for half the retreat. We used to call him Shivananda Shastra. Because Shivananda Sena used to facilitate the pilgrimages. So he's not sitting here lecturing, he's not leading the kirtans, you know, but that's his service. He's a good businessman, Shastra. He tries to help devotees in that way. So each person gets a different empowerment. And then even in the same family, right, there was Mukunda, Raghunandana, and Narahari. And Mukunda was the father, and Raghunandana was the son. And Mukunda was a physician. And Raghunandana was a simple pujari. So he looked at Raghunandana and Mukunda, he said, who is the father and who is the son? And Mukunda, who is the father, said, he is the father, because one with spiritual thing is senior. I'll tell a little story to keep you up. You know, I have my birthday, the teacher has the birthday, you know, called the Aspuja. So, my mother comes every year. She's still alive at 94. But sometimes my older brother comes. So, and one year he was sitting in the back. Think typical overweight New Yorker, like 67. With a big gray mustache and kind of like, kind of a belt, and the belt is hanging down. Not, you know, I mean, he has a respectable job, but. And then they say, would anyone else like to make an offering? And you hear a voice in the back, and no one knows he says, the voice in the back says, I'd like to say something. Yeah, I'd like to say something. And it was actually, then he was saying how I was actually the older brother. And then some ridiculous story how I was advising the family at 2 years old. I just don't know what he talked to. So he said, Mukunda, you're a physician, you know, you do your work, you take care of people. Raghunandana, he was such a nice pujari, he would try to find the best for his deities. So what he would do is, what Raghunandana would do is he'd pick, this kadamba tree would have these 2 flowers a day, and he just would always get the best, simple. And Narahari, the other brother, he said, you move into the ashram. You know, you stay here with me. And then the brothers, there was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Vidya Vishchapati. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and he said, there's 2 manifestations of God. One is wood and one is water. Daru Brahman is Jagannath and Jal Brahman is the Ganga. You worship Jagannath, you worship the Ganga. So everyone had a particular service. And Lord Chaitanya glorified the devotees. And then they went back feeling empowered. And of course, Vasudev Dutta, Murari Gupta, and he's Raghava Pandit, Lord Chaitanya. It's such a beautiful chapter 15 of the Madhya Lila at the beginning. He's glorifying Raghunandana for his consciousness in worshiping the deity, Murari Gupta for his faithfulness to his Lord Ramachandra, Vasudev Dutta for his unlimited compassion, wanting to have all the living entities in the universe liberated and take all the sins on my own head. And Murari Gupta, even though Lord Chaitanya tested him and tried to make him a Krishna Bhakta, and he was torn into pieces. He was dedicated to Lord Chaitanya, and that was his order. He's torn. And he came back to Lord Chaitanya. I can't give up my Rab. Lord Chaitanya glorified him. You know, how wonderful is that devotee who is faithful to his master. So all the devotees were glorified and facilitated and encouraged in service. In service. To me, this was always a very important principle by which Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness. He empowered people. Now we'll go back to the Brahma Vimohan Lila. Before that, I'm going to read one thing and then we'll finish the Lila. This is after a pilgrimage in Puri, and these are my realizations. And another pet peeve of mine is, you know, we need Sangha. And Sangha is a Vaishnav community. It means we need to bind together at different times, you know, or even create groups of people who have the same interest. Whether it's a kirtan mandal or a study group or a community or whatever group it is, we need to have sangha. And it doesn't mean just a temple, because sometimes you have people with 25 different interests fighting for their own. You need the common interest. And actually, one of the main points of Brahma Vimohan Lila is when that happens, how happy and beautiful things are. Because Brahma Vimohan Lila is Krishna in the center, the whirl of the lotus, with people surrounding like the petals. And Prabhupada comments, this is the Krishna consciousness movement. When Krishna is the center, everything becomes so happy and beautiful. So it's glorious to ISKCON that it's still keeping it together. It's not easy. It should be appreciated that somehow or other, to keep it together in a society still basically, hopefully, on the same goal. But we need to do it more. And one way to do it is to create these sanghas where the group serves your interests better than you can serve yourself with your own desires. See, everybody is united because they know what this is will make them happier than what they can do for themselves. And one reason is, in fact, in this is not an advertised, it's an open retreat, but it's never advertised, and that was the strategy. And the reason it wasn't advertised is, well, I like the small group, and we started that way, that's one thing, but not to be exclusive, but it tends to
attract people with a certain desire and interest that becomes Swajatiya like-minded. And advertisement tends to create a big group. And sometimes Indradyumna Swami's pranayams in Vrindavan are amazing. But so I'm not criticizing, it's wonderful, but from my capacity, it creates a wonderful group where people are not coming here because it's a social event. And we have people coming for a social event, they tend to have their own interests. So you really get people that are they're serious. And this year's Sangha was a little smaller than last year, but it was really together. And wonderful. So these are the principles that I wrote, okay, of what we want to do. Vaishnav Sangha is an assembly of devotees mutually dedicated to the assembly's objective, the glorification of the Supreme Lord. As all members of the Vaishnav Sangha are focused on that objective, personal objectives become secondary. Although the leaders and senior Vaishnavs may help guide the Sangha and are appropriately respected, all participating members are deeply and equally valued as essential members of the Sangha. Vaishnav Sangha is spontaneous as much as practical. Hierarchical or corporate structures of authority are not externally imposed on the Sangha, but manifest genuinely out of the feelings of natural attachment and respect for authority within the Sangha. The channel of relationships in a Vaishnav Sangha is open due to trust among its members. Sangha members thus get the maximum benefit from each other's insights, including the realizations of its more spiritually mature members. As mercy flows so freely in a Vaishnava Sangha naturally inspires humility in its members, which is the natural response to mercy. The activities, service of Vaishnav Sangha are born from a humble mood of service and thus truly become seva or devotional service. As the members of a Vaishnav Sangha are humble, they are constantly absorbed in Nam Sankirtan. A Vaishnav Sangha is confident in the mercy it is experiencing within its Sangha. The members welcome and value any visitor as long as they sincerely want to serve the Sangha's objectives. A Vaishnav Sangha does fear Vaishnav Aparad. Its members deal very carefully and respectfully with everyone. A Vaishnav Sangha is thus the yoga of association where members control their minds and lower impulses out of respect and appreciation for the association and kindness they are receiving within the Sangha. The duty of an Acharya is to create Vaishnav Sangha based on the six loving exchanges of a Vaishnava. To assist in its development is the best offering of service for his pleasure. A Vaishnav Sangha is most attractive. Sincere people will appreciate it. Pure devotees will naturally gravitate towards it. It is the basis of spreading Vaishnav Dharma. So now, we'll tell a little bit of that story. And then we'll end with some nice kirtan, where we can meditate on the pastime, because I mentioned before, one of the objectives, at least of my presentation, was to describe and demonstrate, Lord Chaitanya's practice of Nam Kirtan with a feeling of sambandha for the name,
inspired by hearing the glories of the person that is named, which means to hear the Bhagavatam. And this really creates rasa. This really creates the deep feelings of love. So we'll tell the story briefly and have time for more kirtan. So Krishna had just killed the demon. Coward boys are hungry. They stop by the most idyllic place possible. And you can envision that, how beautiful that place is with the white sands and the clear water and the fragrances and the sounds of the bees. And then the demigods are watching this and they become confused because they're trying to understand Krishna. And they saw his power killing Agasura. But they can't accommodate the fact that God can be such an ordinary, apparently ordinary human being that's just playing with his friends. So Yajnabhuk Bala Keli, is it the person who eats the yajna, or is it playing with his friends? And we get that charming picture of Krishna. It's so charming, the picture of Krishna. Right? Yellow dhoti, lotus eyes, smiling, cascading black hair, the peacock feather. And he has the flute tucked in his dhoti on the right side, and a beautiful cowherd boy stick somehow through his belt on the left side with a bugle horn. And he's holding in his hand this incredible preparation. I'm just disappointed that we didn't make Sesha make that one day. With the yogurt and the rice and the real fruit. When the Russian devotees first came to India after being restricted by the Iron Curtain, and they were such good devotees, and when they came to Calcutta they were greeted by kirtan by Bibi Govinda Swami, and then they got a feast that they never experienced before, because now in Russia you can get anything, but then vegetables were limited to potatoes, carrots and beets. And so they were sitting next to Keshava Bharti, and one Russian devotee picked up a ripe papaya piece and he looked at Keshava Bharti and said, "A fruit?" He said, he bit into that. Oh, really delicious. So he's Krishna, and then somehow the calves wander off. Krishna goes to look for them. He's holding that rice dal in his hand, rice and yogurt fruit in his hand. He's going in bushes in so many places. And then he comes back and they're gone. So for 1 year, one moment of Lord Brahma, he manifests all the cowherd boys in camps down to their voices, mental proclivities, lunch baskets, dress. Just imagine if these were all duplicates of you. Be pretty impressive, right? Look around, imagine. He'd imagine that Shastra's a duplicate. Shastra, look at Gita, and someone's duplicated him. it's just amazing.
Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur says that one of the motivations for Krishna to duplicate himself like that, the prime motivation, is he was thinking, how can I go back to my village without all my friends. When I just ate a little bit of dirt, Mother Yashoda, she tied me up. If I go back to the village without all of my friends, what kind of punishment is she going to give me? So out of fear of Mother Yashoda, he duplicated himself. That was one of the motivations.
It's unlimited, the pastimes of Krishna. And then, so then we see the spontaneous dealings between the cowherd boys who are now Krishna and their mothers, between the calves, the cows and their calves, the cows and their calves who are now Krishna. The cow is licking its calf, almost swallowing it with so much affection. The fathers are smelling the head and hugging their sons and can't leave in separation and ecstasy. And then Lord Brahma comes back after 1 year and he's startled. He sees all the cowherd boys and calves, and then he goes back to his own place and they're still there, and goes back and he's completely bewildered. He can't understand that Krishna is showing his mercy in revealing his opulence to humble Brahma. Krishna will show his power, his opulence, sometimes his death to the most powerful man in the world. Krishna will announce in various ways in our life that you're not the controller. You're not the controller. You're not the controller. And he announces it louder and louder and louder. And like the Kaliya serpent with our hoods of false ego, we say, no. Right? And then when I went to sixth grade in Brooklyn, if someone got beat up, they could never accept that they were defeated. They would always say, you know, I had my school clothes on, otherwise I really would have beat them up, you know, but I couldn't get my school clothes dirty. The false ego says, No, I'm supreme. So Krishna's mercy to us is always to announce to us in different ways, you're not the control. Has that ever happened to anyone here? You're not the controller, you're not the controller, you're not the controller, you're not the controller. Until we give up the false ego, which is the identity that's yelling that, and we finally say, I am your servant. And then we become happy because we can do that right now. We can't be the controller right now. We can't be the controller ever. We can do that right now. We can be Krishna's servant. So here's Krishna's mercy. Brahma starts looking at them. Who are they? And then rubies, diamonds, rings, and pearls. So beautiful. Krishna, his golden garment, his jewels, his helmet, his auspicious marking, kastupa, and surrounded by devotees, always surrounded by devotees, offering these incredibly lush, fragrant tulsi, manjari garlands, and they're doing kirtan, and there's an exchange of love, and they just want to serve Krishna, and Krishna inspires in their heart what he wants from them. What service do you want? I am your servant. I will move the way you want. And then Krishna inspires. And then everything, each cowherd boy and in the Vishnu form, this unlimited of these Vishnu forms, they are surrounded by every living entity worshiping Krishna. Brahma gets the vision of a Mahabhagavat for a second.
He sees every living entity, and he sees Kala, Svabhav, Karma, Vanat, everything around Krishna, unlimitedly expanding. And he's looking at these forms of Vishnu, and his senses become overloaded with Odharya, with mercy. He hears Krishna in every sense. He sees Krishna in every sense. And he's Lord Brahma, and he's relishing this vision, and he becomes stunned. And all of a sudden, he goes blind. He thought he was... I had a friend, actually my college roommate, who became a devotee, and then he died, actually. He was murdered preaching Krishna consciousness. Yeah, he was murdered preaching Krishna consciousness. He was the indexer for... His name was Akshobhya. He was the indexer for all Prabhupada's books. He was the main indexer. He's a very amazing person, and he was a beautiful poet. So he wrote one thing about Mayavadis. I only remember the first line. He thought he was God, an infinite wad. Wad is chewing gum, anyway. That's what I thought. Not everything is understood. I'll go on anyway.
I got it.
Okay. So, Brahma thought he was God, an infinite wad. And then Brahma collapsed. And he's blind. He doesn't even have the power to see. He thought he was so great. He doesn't even have the power to see. And then when he opens his eyes, he's in Vrindavan. There's soft sands and there's beautiful trees. And there's Krishna sitting with the rice, yogurt, and chiku, papaya, Kashmiri apples, organic Colombian bananas, the best fruits in the world, with the whey, and then Brahma understands that Madhurya, the intimate side of God, is not limiting God. It's actually the fullest manifestation of God. When I was in the university, I studied philosophy, so I remember we had the definition of God, that being of which no greater can be conceived. And then this friend of mine, Akshobhya, he would bloop every summer. He kind of visited the college, and he gave me a Krishna book, and I was reading the Krishna book. And I said, yes, this must be God. This is a being of which no greater can be conceived. Because he has all power, he has all opulence, and he doesn't have the defect of impersonality, he doesn't have the defect of a lack of intimacy. He's a Kila Rasamrita Murti, he's the full embodiment of love, and he's God. So now Brahma has understood that. And all four heads, he falls to the ground and pays his obeisances. And he looks up in tears welling in his eyes in ecstasy. And every time he tries to pick up his head, it falls to the ground, it falls to the ground, it falls to the ground. And he becomes very happy. He'd rather have his head on the ground looking up to Krishna than floating in the air looking down on Krishna. And he begins to cry and cry and cry in incredible ecstasy, and happy with the hands folded, happy with the head bowed, happy, I am your humble servant. His faith has changed from being I want to be the controller to I want to be the servant. Faith changed from wanting to be on the throne to wanting to be at the feet.
And now Brahma is going to offer the most heartfelt, beautiful prayers. Hinanagari, Tate Nukampam. I tried to set you up for home run derby, but okay. So many beautiful prayers, but the one that I remember was, he says to Krishna, and I said this, who am I and who are you? Just as little particles of dust, hex atoms, come through the sunlight in a screen, in the same way unlimited universes are coming through your body in the same way, and I am one Brahma on one universe, one speck of dust. Who am I and who are you? So we have some time. Arjuna, come up here. I'm going to order you to do some kirtan. We have about 20 minutes of kirtan now. Let's all meditate on the pastime and relish. Okay, yeah.
Come up here too.
Let's close our eyes, or keep your eyes open. Try to remember the past.
Thank you.
That was just the preview for 10 o'clock when we'll have our last Harinam Parikram. Marvananda Prabhu is going to lead the Parikram. It's right by when we went to Haridas Thakur, with walking and stopping to take within a half hour. We go to Gambira. And that's the place where Lord Chaitanya lived the last 18 years of his life, focusing on realizing the internal reason for his descent. And at this other time, I don't know what Bhagavan's plan is, maybe you'll see a place or two. So let's congregate down there. We're really on time today. It's not even 9 o'clock yet, so we really should be able to get the kirtan out by 10 o'clock. The latest, so we can start the kirtan before then. Last few announcements, please leave your room keys in the lock when you leave. Please leave the ashram towels in your room. Do not take them with you, otherwise